possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word tonight, knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and knowing that your word that went forth 2,000 years ago has come to pass in this hour, and you had a vindicated prophet more than 45, 50 years ago tell us that this nation would receive a judgment. It would come in the form of a depression and other things as well. And so, Lord, we recognize it because we see it coming to pass. And we could say, as your prophet would say, this day the scripture is fulfilled in our midst, knowing that we are in the midst of a depression. And so, Father, we just come before you, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, to be as those children of yours that were in Goshen, that the depression would not affect us personally. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from Jezebel Religion, Brother Branham said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servants and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think that you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait, long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible says so. There'll be a famine in the land in the last days, said the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere hid away. He ordained the ravens, his servants, bless those birds, his servants that kept the voice of Elijah alive during that time of his isolation from the church. And we know that the spirit of Elijah is isolated from the church at this hour because the prophet was off the scene. Now, there are those people who think he meant spiritual depression, which I can understand why they would think that. But as you will see by scripture and other things, Brother Bram tells us that there's coming an economic depression on the scale that the world has never seen before. And I'd like to read one more quote before I go to the scripture. From Hebrews chapter 3, paragraph 57, Brother Brown said, America doesn't want the gospel. You know that. We might just as well admit it. The Anglo-Saxon people is finished. That's all. There's no more gospel that America will receive. Oh, you get a few stragglings now and then. But just as the gospel, it's over. You can't even preach to them. You can't talk to them. They won't believe nothing, see? They just got their own hard-headed ideas and they're set. And the next thing for this nation is judgment. She's going to have it too. It may be through depression. It may come through an atomic bomb. It may be through a great plague, a disease or something, but she's ready. It's coming, and thousands times thousands will fall. So we understand that those days are already upon us. Now, in the book of Daniel, if you'd open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8, and we're just going to take part of this message tonight, and I've got a little presentation to show you. From Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 to 25, we read, and in the latter times, or in the latter days of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the fullness, a king with a mighty presence will arise. And understanding dark sentences or double dealings, he shall come on the scene. In other words, he knows how to talk to the people. He knows how to sway them with phylacteries and with, you know, fair speech. And his wealth shall be vast, but not by his own ability to produce wealth, which means he gets it from others. And, you know, there's, what, $650 or $680 million were contributed, you know, for a presidential election this time around, which was it's never happened in the history of the nation. And he shall bring to ruin perversion and corruption, and shall make great profits, and bring about a press or a squeeze. And in so doing, he will bring to ruin the many nations, and the set apart nation of God, the Jews, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft, which is deceit and fraud, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by quietness, ease, and prosperity shall corrupt, pervert, and ruin many. He shall also stand forth and present himself on account of the Prince of Princes, Christ, and he shall be broken without hand when the final act is played out. Now, that's from the NIV translation, but it's a pretty good translation. And we know that the one that actually comes in with flatteries is the Pope. But we also see that Obama did the same thing, and let's face it, Hitler did the same thing when he came in. And that's just the way of the politician. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 3 to 13, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I'd like to inject here that the falling away is from the faith, not faith, but the faith, according to 1 Timothy 4:1, which says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, getting back to 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we see then that it's going to come on through deceit and through lying signs and wonders. Now in Daniel 11, reading from verse 21 to 23, and his estate or his office shall there rise up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with an overwhelming political force shall they be swept away from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So, in other words, you've got this little Vatican state that's going to use deceitfulness, and they're going to, after the pact or the league is made, in other words, the concordant with the Jews, remember, the Jews have the paper, and Monsanto has papers, 11,000 patents. They control the seeds, and so when Rome gets hold of that, because she has the gold, she's going to control all food substances as well. Now, Daniel 12:1, verse 10 says, and at that time shall Michael, or Christ, come on the scene and present himself, the great prince, which takes his stand with the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble and distress, binding or pressing upon as to squeeze, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people slip out unknown to safety, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, it's interesting that the word trouble there, it means distress, binding, or press upon as a squeeze. But we know that it goes from a squeeze, when we are out of here, it goes into tribulation period, full tribulation. Now, I want you to notice this next verse, because it provides a clue to the time of this great escape. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, this will be at the time of the resurrection. And they that be wise, or the wise virgin, shall shine, or send forth light by warning and teaching, and this teaching shall be as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, or right wiseness, as the stars, which, according to the scripture, stars was the brothers, forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, in which time many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, it should be for a time and a half. It should be for a time, times and a half. So time, times and a half. So that's 3.5. All right. And when he shall have accomplished or brought forth to a finish, to scatter the shattering or breaking of the power of the holy people, God set apart nation, the Jews, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And we know the seals have been broken. The Lord himself has come down. The book is open, so it's at this time. And we know then if it's three, if it's time, times and a half, then it's 3.5 years that he'll be working with the Jews. We're going to be gone during that time. And so when the seals are opened at that time, everything will be placed in place for the fulfillment of the prophecy. Then he goes on, many shall be purified by the washing of water by the word. That's Ephesians 5, 26 and 7, Psalms 119 and 9. And made white and tried by the, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now we see the same scene played out in the book of Luke. In Luke 21, verse 25, it says, And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. And with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable: Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, okay, that is there when Israel becomes a nation, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before, that word is in prosody, it means in the presence of the Son of Man. Now what is this distress of nations, and why is it so perplexing? This is what we must know if we're to understand why everyone on earth is going to be affected. The word distress in the Greek is a Greek word sunoki, which means a narrowing or a constraining or a press. It means to hold together with constraint or to press on every side, like the forcing of a ship into a narrow channel or the forcing of an animal into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication, in other words, to impel. Now from this we can see that the whole world is being pushed or squeezed into a universal condition from all sides in order to receive the medication called the New World Order or One World Government. And then we see that the world will be perplexed by this squeeze. And the word perplexed means that they are confused and don't understand what's really happening, and thus they begin to panic. And remember what Brother Branham said, that the world must come into a neurotic condition, and the first stage of neurosis is anxiety, which is to worry about what might happen. So we find in Luke 21, verse 26, he said, Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We find also in Hebrews 12, verse 25 to 29, it says, See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies a removing of those things which can be shaken, as if the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And so, therefore, from Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Branham says, And so I believe that Rosella will finally turn into the mission field somewhere, because America doesn't want the gospel, you know that. We just might as well admit that. This Anglo-Saxon people is finished, that's all. There's no more gospel that America will receive. Oh, you get a few stragglings now and then, but just as the gospel, it's over. And you can't even preach to them. You can't talk to them. They won't believe nothing, see? They just got their own hard-headed ideas, and they're set. And the next thing for this nation is judgment. She's going to have it, too. It may be through depression. It may be through an atomic bomb. It may be through a great plague, a disease or something, but she's ready. And it's a-coming, and thousands will fall. Well, a thousand times thousands is millions of people are going to fall. And so Then from this day the scripture is fulfilled, Brother Brown said, we had a great nation, but she's now rottening and crumbling and shaking and giving away and trying to tax people to get money to send over yonder to buy friendship with our enemies. They're throwing it back in our face. One world war, two world wars, and still moving on to a third world war. Certainly, politics is rotten, corrupted, rotten to the bottom. And from testimony, Brother Brown said, I was trying to say last night, the world's coming to a place that's falling apart politically, socially, and economically. Well, you say economics, more money, yes, but where is it coming from? We're borrowed on taxes that'll be paid 40 years from today. She's broke. She's bankrupt. The nation, not this nation, but all of them, and there's no way of ever getting it back. And it's a trap set exactly to swing this nation into something, and all of you are wise on that. Well, who's got the wealth of the world? Who holds it? Someone says Rome. Sure it does. Rome holds it. And whenever we do, when we get broke, instead of these big merchant tobacco companies and whiskey and so forth, like have to get the money, what we'll have to do is either change the currency or borrow the money. And when they do it, it's the birthright sold back and exactly just as perfect and just what the scripture says about it. Well, he later on he says, we're not going to change the currency. So what do? Then there's only one thing. We have to borrow it. And who are we borrowing it from? Our enemies. People like China are keeping our government going. He said, I'd like to get to a place sometime, Lord willing, when a tent comes on the scene. And I believe that soon now, soon I'm going worldwide. I got a worldwide meeting coming on. And I'd like to get to a place where I could sit down for about 6 weeks and just take those things and go through them. See, back and forth through the scriptures. And it's outstanding to see the hour that we're living in. It frightens me. It frightens me not because in my heart the joy bells are ringing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is close at hand. But what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we are facing. That's the bad part. How many ever heard the story about the squirrel up there at that time? Many, of course, I guess. Everywhere a little thing, something like that happened the other day. And you've heard the story about the mountains coming down. When the Lord wrote those things on the mountains the other day, my wife, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows that I'm not a preacher. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. And it's just, that's my makeup. And I can't help that no more than you can help your makeup. But he, God, has put us, each one, in the body to do certain things. And I watch every little move, every objective, every motive, because everything is governed by spirit. This church was put here for a purpose. There's a spirit behind this church, certainly. Spirit behind your home, behind every building. Behind everything, there is a spirit, motive, and objective. And this church comes here to greatly exalt some human system or something, then its motive is not right. But if it's here, if it's put here to try to achieve something for the kingdom of God, then the motive and the objective both is right if the motive is directed that way. Now, from the message oneness, then Brother Bram said, the whole world is based on that. The whole economy of this nation is based upon a false conception. Why is that? Because they remove the gold standard. Once they remove the gold, there's nothing backing the dollar. It's just printed paper. From the supernatural, said, brother and sister, our great America and our great economy that we have is rottening under the foundation of something, and I see it's in the making right now. She'll lay in ruins. And from the first seal, he said, now watch, in the end time, not in the early days when Christ was preaching, but in the end time, the last part of the week, where we just took the 70 weeks of Daniel, Christ has prophesied for 3.5 years, and 3.5 years are determined, is that right? And this prince, in that time, is to make a covenant with Daniel's people, which is the Jews. That's when the bride's taken out now. She won't see it. Notice in the last one half of Daniel's week, the people makes a covenant. This prince makes a covenant with Rome, makes a covenant with them, no doubt, for the wealth. For Catholic and Jews holds the wealth of the world. I was in the Vatican. I've seen the Triple Crown. I got to go all through the Vatican. Why, you couldn't buy it with $100 billion. What's a billion billion? It's a trillion. You want to check where that is, Michael? Notice he says, just think the wealth of the world, the Bible said, was found in her. Just think of the great places, the billions times. Why didn't communism raise up here in Russia? It just makes me sick in my stomach to hear so many preachers hollering about communism. They don't even know what they're hollering about. That's right. Communists ain't nothing. It's a tool in the hand of God to bring revenge upon the earth for the blood of the saints. That's right. And after the church is taken away, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. The Bible said they would, with the holy people. And now notice they'll make it because why? This nation is going to be busted. And the rest of the world that's on the gold standard is busted. You know that. If we're living off taxes, due bills for 40 years from now, where are we at? There's only one thing that can happen. That's to call in the currency and pay off the bonds. But we can't do it. Wall Street owns them, and Wall Street's controlled by the Jews, and the rest of it's in the Vatican. And the Jews has got the rest of it in Wall Street with the commerce of the world. We can't call it in. And if we could do it, do you think the whiskey guys and all these tobacco guys with billions times billions of dollars a year and write off in all their income taxes of old vulgar pictures and things like that, go out to Arizona and buy millions of acres of land or thousands and dig them big wells at $50,000 each and pay it off with income tax? And they put you in jail if you don't pay yours? Well, what's he talking about? We've got 4 out of 5 people that were just nominated to cabinet positions which didn't pay their taxes for as much as 12 years. And they get a little pass, you don't have to make up the interest, you don't have to pay the penalties. You try doing that sometime. They'll haul you right off to jail. The whole thing is corrupt. Like this fellow down here, Castro, did. He done the only smart thing he ever did do then. When he destroyed the bonds, he paid them off and destroyed them. Notice, but we can't do that. These guys won't let us. The rich merchants of the earth hold it. And then there's only one thing to do. The Catholic Church can pay it off. She's the only one that's got the money, and she can do it, and she will do it. And in doing this to get it, she'll compromise with the Jews and make a covenant. And when she makes this covenant with the Jews, now remember, I'm taking this from the scripture, and now when he does this and makes this covenant, we notice in Daniel 8:23 and 25, he will cause craft to prosper and craft is manufacturing in his hand. And he makes his covenant with the Jews, and in the midst of this 3.5 years, he breaks his covenant. As soon as he gets the thing wrapped up and gets the money of the Jews tied up, and when he does that, oh my, he's called the Antichrist until the end of the church ages, for he and his children are against Christ and the Word. This man's called the Antichrist. Now he's going to hold the money, and that's where I think that he'll come in. Just a minute while I say this, then I want to go back to it in a minute. He's called the Antichrist and will be called the Antichrist in the sight of God until the end of time. Now, but then he'll be called something else, see? Now, when he gets the money all under his control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel said that he would do it in the midst of the last half of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And then, brother, what will he do? He will have all the world trade and commerce and pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call that 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast of Revelations will set in, because he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. And what will take place then? The mark of the beast will come in, and no man can buy or sell except him that has the mark of the beast. Thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. Don't have to go through that. Hallelujah. So don't you be worrying about some little chip or whatever people talk about. We know the mark of the beast anyway is in the mind. And it's in the hands, it's in the actions and their deeds. But you don't have to worry about it because it won't come into manifestation fully until we're gone. You see, if Satan has a kingdom, he's got to have a false economy. He's got to have something that he can present to them to make them think that they are living, but it's absolutely on the vice versa. It's death in the form of life. Now, I'm just going to close at this time. Well, let me just bring one more up. From look away to Jesus, Brother Anne says, so now, I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along, and that is the thing that we have to look forward to for so long, or at least for many years, 4 or 5 years now, or maybe longer. The third pole has now been vindicated. I'm sure that you know what it is. Now remember, there will never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I'm warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power, see? Now, I must continue in evangelism. Just as I was commissioned first, I must continue on. Therefore, You've had the word and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd thing happen from me. Nothing sinful, I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend is. Because what I have reached to now up in my ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching the spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used, and everyone knows that for as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And you'll think real closely, you are who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom, the third is properly identified, see? We know where it's at. So the third pole is here. It is so sacred that I must not say anything about it, as he told me in the beginning. He said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago it speaks for itself, see? But I've tried to explain the others and I made the mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that, to my opinion, will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See? Now, I must lay quiet for just a little while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, but dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute till this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. But it's thoroughly identified. There's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome. When it become pagan Rome, see, that this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The lamb comes up out of the earth. The other beast comes up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. That this lamb comes up where there was no people. Now, when is that? That's already happened under Bush. We sent off our knights in armor, so to speak, to the Middle East to have a holy war. Fight the jihad. You know, Christianity versus the Muslims. That's exactly what the Holy Roman Empire did. And Brother Brown said that this nation would do the same. A lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb, but it was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power of the dragon, that had before him. And the dragon is Rome, always. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now one person like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all of this. That's exactly because we won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch. Well, I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third pole then. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now, we're closer than it seems. I don't know when, but it's real close, real close. I may be building a platform for someone else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be coming this week when the Holy Spirit will come and bring Jesus Christ. He may come this next week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know when he will come. He doesn't tell us that. But I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'd never die with old age until he's here, see? Unless I am shot, killed, or something or other, some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. And I believe that, and I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to Scripture, according to what he said 33 years ago on the river down there, in 1933 rather, what he said, everything has happened just exactly, and I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is it the message of forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. See? So it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. And from stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown said, this present government is now spending more money. Money for what? For tax money that they'll be collecting 40 years from now. She's done. That's Lifeline, right out of Washington, D.C., across the nation. Taxes spent, they're spending and trying to buy foreign. Why, they're just giving it out anyway. Don't you see that's exactly what they're going to do? See? What is it? Now, if this nation goes busted, the only thing it can do is go busted. The only thing that it can do is go bankrupt. That's the only sensible thing to do, change the currency. But they won't do it. Under this present administration, Roman Catholic Church owns the gold of the world, and what they'll do is sell out. These rich men and so forth of the earth, as the Bible said, they will. What will they do before they lose the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Company? Most all of them's Catholic anyhow. And all these other things, what will they do? They'll accept that, and they'll take the money from Rome. And when she sold her very birthright, Rome backs her up. Yes, sir, she'll back it up. And they're getting enough policy now, getting enough around them, bringing it into his cabinet. Look what Mr. Kennedy asking for. And when you see the other day, there's no need of voting anymore. What's the use of voting? When they put in the paper and proved it before the public, and they refused to do anything about it, when they proved that the machines across the nation were set up, that they elected Mr. Kennedy by a false vote, don't the Bible say that he would come in by deceit, a falsehood? Now, I'm not against the Democratic Party any more than I'm against the Republican Party, but I'm just stating facts from the Bible. What's the use of voting? They know who's going in there. Well, we had exactly the same thing take place this time. And they're going to give $5.2 billion to Acorn to, as payoff for getting them the extra 5,000 or 5 million votes that they needed to beat McCain. So the whole thing's gone down in corruption, and what can you do? What can you do? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. I want to play something for you. This is some pictures that I've put together and some graphs. I may have to hit pause periodically so you can read the graph a little bit. But they're linked together with Brother Branham's thoughts. So maybe if somebody could shut the outside lights out here. It's the second one from the right. Second one. Yeah. And maybe someone will grab these here. Just so you can see them better. Okay. Let me turn the volume up here. Cover your ears. Okay. Oops. Maybe I've got it on mute. Just a minute here. Notice the, he said, you just watch for that depression, brother. Notice the debt to gross domestic product ratio. The debt to the gross domestic product ratio here. It's at 404% in 2007. I don't know what it's at today. The debt is four times the gross domestic product. It would take 4 years of selling and saving every single penny to pay off the debt. 4 years as of 2007. They've added several trillion dollars in the past couple of years. In fact, this year they're adding $2 trillion. You realize that if we took the $10 trillion that we're at today and divide it by the families in America, you're talking about $150,000 each family to pay off that debt? $150,000, could you ever do it? Absolutely not. I thought it's interesting before the, let me rewind just a little bit here, this picture. You see that the women's suffrage movement came in just a few years before the Depression, and so did TV, or the talking and the first color movies came after, but the talking movies and And those things came in right before the Depression, getting the people's hearts turned away from God.
But by hearing the true word of God, that boy will be quiet. He ordained the ravens, his servants, bless them birds. His servants had kept the boy.
You think this is strange? People using boxcars to live in? I know people doing that today. Going up to the mountains, bringing boxcars up to live in. You know they're already setting up tent cities around the country?
Because America doesn't want the gospel, you know that. We just might as well admit that. The thing of black people is finished. That's all. There's no more.
Look at the national debt since Bush took over. It went from, let me just back up here so we can see it.
Admit that.
You see, from 300 percent to, what's that, in million, wait, was that billions? Excuse me, I just.
America doesn't want the gospel, you know that, we just might as well.
And also, let me just go back here. After abandoning the gold standard, look what's happened to prices. 1971. They were pretty much just had, they had depression, deflation, but you had just little dips, you know, little cycles. But then after the abandoned the gold standard, look at that, went from basically 40, we'll say, up to 180, 170. That's the USA Wholesale Price Index. And look at all right, this is the annual gross or total national debt. We're at, in billions, we're at $300 billion. When Clinton started, we're down to almost almost very much under control. But then since Bush took over, it's just gone totally, totally into debt. They went hog wild the last 8 years, spending, spending, spending. It was a Democratic Congress. This was a Republican Congress during Clinton's administration. Not to say that Republicans are any better, but they sold out.
The thing of blacks and people is finished.
Notice this is an index of interest rates, and notice the home prices, the building costs, and the population. And the building costs, the home prices just escalated out of control in the 2000s. Some places it was 35% per year in Phoenix. Then it's come crashing down. I had another chart I couldn't show you, but it's come crashing way down, which started off this whole depression cycle.
The gospel is over. And you can't even preach to them, can't talk to them. They won't.
Look at this line up here from the first depression. The person says, I will feed 20 people at my restaurant. Does it look like you got 20 there? Or several hundred in line to get food?
I believe nothing. They've got their own hard-headed ideas, and they're set, and the next thing for this nation is judgment. Maybe through depression, maybe through an atomic bomb, maybe through a great plague of disease or something. Told in the Bible there be a time come for those who are not in this wonderful sunlight.
Notice the sign, jobless men keep going. We can't take care of our own. That's a community sign.
There's a thousand of the air we the flesh of. That disease is on its road. That the doctors will never be able to stop. It's the plague of God. The Egyptian doctors, which is far smarter than ours today, could not stop the plague of God. Neither could their soothsayers or their impersonators. It's the notion of the power of God. Oh, it's people. Under the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is that door. They find that money? Well, you know what tonight they sell bonds on it.
Notice this one here. Personal savings.
The Holy Spirit is that
personal savings rate, 1929 to 2006. Notice here in 40, in this is a depression right here where you see it goes to the negative. Then you see way up here at around 15% is where the savings was after the depression was over. During World War II, when every, you know, commerce and everything was coming back, people said, I'm not going to be stuck again with no money in my pocket. So they started saving, saving, saving. But then times got good. People started spending on pleasure. And you see that, you know, when it's gone down, 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 down.
Well, you know, it's like they sell bonds on the go. The bonds is already cut up.
And this chart here shows, if I could somehow... Okay, you see, now we are at under 1%, more like 0.5% is the average person in this country in their savings. They don't have enough to get them through hard times. I've been hammering it for 10 years now. Make sure you've got enough money to get through these times because they are coming. We've had our warning from a vindicated prophet. There's no excuse for us to be... caught unaware. I thought this is an interesting chart here. Notice this is the recreating the gap that gave us the Great Depression. And if you can see over here, the numbers over here, you see that this is the percent, the 1% of U.S. families as a multiple of average income. Of the bottom 90% of U.S. families. And in 1928, the ratio was 892. The people in the 1% were an average of 892 times the amount of money that the people in the lower 90% had. Well, now you see, oh, way over here, it's 926 times in 2008. And the average income of those people in the upper 1% is over $5 million. So you can see how the economy has been built around getting the rich richer and taking away from the middle class and destroying the middle class. So we see that we're really in some dire times now. And let me just... Now, I have a handout I want to give you. It's called How Can You Protect Yourself? Here are some suggestions. This is from a website called thestreet.com. It's Jim Cramer. And anyway, it is to help people to make sure that when this depression hits full force, that you have that you're protected. And number one, he says, your best. He says, well, first of all, he says, how can you protect yourself? Here are some suggestions. Number one, your best investment is to pay off debt. Interest rates go up and down in response to change in supply and demand of money. If lenders start to feel that the money they lend is not going to be repaid, then they will stop lending. Plus, losses from the mortgage crisis reduce the ability of banks to lend. As a result, total lending in the United States is declining. These will cause interest rates to spike upwards. Adjustable rate mortgages and renewals of conventional mortgages may carry interest charges that are unaffordable. Many corporations are already experiencing soaring interest costs and difficulty in gaining access to new debt. To protect yourself from an interest rate spike, you need to become debt-free as soon as possible. You may choose to ignore the suggestion. However, there are plenty of wealthy people around the world with lots of cash willing to purchase American assets for pennies on the dollar. In fact, the coming debt trap, economic collapse, may have engineered with just that thought in mind. In fact, I'm going to tell you that Soros and all these guys, Buffett, you know, the big investor, he has purchased Huff Realty in this area, and he's purchased three real estate agencies in Indiana, and he's going to be going after your houses if they're not paid off. If you got a good equity in your house, that's the ones he's going to go after. And when you can't pay it and the bank says, I'm sorry, we're going to foreclose, he's going to buy them up for pennies on the dollar. And we're already seeing houses around this area. We've seen houses that are just really, really cheap. You know, HUD houses and foreclosed houses. So that's what they're doing. And, as he mentions here, he thinks the whole debt trap, the economic collapse, has been engineered so that the rich can get everything. All right, if you're depending on credit cards to get by, you should know that many people are about to lose their credit cards and lines of credit as banks try to reduce their risk. As much as $2 trillion of consumer credit may be chopped. In the people we've been listening to, they said that next quarter, second quarter, the credit cards are going to bust. If you're depending on credit cards now, you're not going to have them. It's just putting you into further debt anyway. All right? He says, if you have savings to invest, keep some cash so that if your investments go down in value, you can buy more. If you invest in North America, consider buying dividend-paying stocks and sell covered call options to enhance your income, or purchase shares in emerging markets, oil, and agriculture. Number two, he says, move your personal and business bank accounts to a bank with a rating of at least A or B. Avoid banks with ratings of C, D, or E. Now, PNC, because it purchased NCC, which is National City Corporation, it was National City was one of these banks that had it had a very good banking clientele, but then it also had the foolish assets of where they're trying to do all this investment banking. And the investment side of it totally went into insolvency. So then that caused the other side of it to go down. So PNC, which was had an A-plus rating, bought them. But because of the debt that they had to take on to buy them, that brought them from an A-plus to an A. So I feel good about that. We've got the church funds in PNC. I would advise you, if you're going to hold on to a bank, if you're going to keep any money in the bank, use somebody like PNC. Or just make sure that they got a good A rating. But like you said, you know, keep cash on hand because you can buy things during this time. So move your personal and business bank accounts to banks with A or B. Avoid banks with ratings of C, D, or E. To find the financial condition of your bank, go to www.thestreet.com. Click on Portfolio and Tools, then Banks and Thrift Screener. Keep some cash in safety deposit boxes or other safe places so that you can survive in the event of a bank holiday. The government closes all the banks for an indefinite period. You can access your safety deposit box even during a bank holiday. Open a bank account in another country and keep some of your savings there. Number three, invest in yourself. Look after your health, for without health, your life has no foundation. Improve your job skills. Develop a skill you can barter. Encourage your community or a local charity to start a barter currency such as Calgary dollars to make bartering easier. Number four, how can you live if you are unemployed? Reduce your living expenses as low as possible. In other words, downsize. Look for ways to diversify your income or live on less income. If you have a choice between retiring at this time and continuing to work for a few years, unless you have a lot of money saved up, you might be wise to continue working. Don't expect help from the government. Number five, live in a location that has public transit so that you can get around without a car. Unless a solution is found for declining global oil supplies, gasoline will be increasingly unaffordable in the years ahead. The present low oil price is largely due to a temporary spike in the value of the U.S. dollar as a safe haven. Don't expect this situation to last for long. If you buy a car, number six, make sure the seats fold down so that you can sleep in it. Municipal parking lots in Santa Barbara, California, become homeless shelters at night, with people allowed to sleep in their cars after having lost their employment. Their homes are foreclosed and their car becomes a shelter of last resort. Like it or not, tent cities are springing up in urban centers across the United States. Similar to the shanty towns in the 1930s, tent cities in city parks have become the last resort of the homeless. Entire families with nowhere else to turn are swelling the population of this new urban phenomena. City leaders should understand that tent cities may be the lowest cost way to deal with this growing problem and take steps to make it humane. Toilets, showers, laundry, and soup kitchens should be provided. Pay telephones, message centers, and mail service will help make it possible for residents to look for work and eventually lift themselves out. If you have any money, please make regular donations to your local food bank. Now, I was looking on a site the other day called Jesuit Assassins, and they had a little link, and it was a link showing that there was in a field near Atlanta, there was a field there that had 125,000 plastic coffins, and they called them coffin liners, but basically they're big enough to put the whole body in, and they have a flat lid so they can stack them. And they had 125,000, but before they had come to take the picture, they had as many as 500,000 there. And the man who owns the property where they're storing them, his brother works for the CDC. And he's been given the task over the next 3 years to find locations where they can set up all these, basically all these clinics for the people that are radiated or whatever, because they're expecting some great attacks in this country. So just for your information. Number seven, everyone needs to eat. Plant a garden so at least you can have some food. If you do not have a yard, why not make some window boxes, create a container garden on your balcony, plant something indoors, or grow sprouts in your kitchen. Each square foot of garden is precious. Divide your small garden into square feet and plant something different in each. Lettuce is a good plant to grow. It is highly nutritious and matures faster than most other vegetables. Practice vertical gardening so you can use your wall space. Use a dehydrator to preserve food for the winter, etc. Sun-dried tomatoes. Trees on your boulevard should produce nuts, walnuts, or other edibles. All vegetables around your home should serve multiple purposes: food, windbreak, shade, fuel, mulch, compost, etc. Learn to maximize the nutritional value of food that you purchase. Number eight, store enough dried food in your home to keep you going for several years. Remember the story in the Bible about seven good years followed by seven bad years? Well, the United States has had more than 60 good years, and the bad times may be just beginning. Begin preparing now just in case. It is amazing the feeling of security that comes from having a cupboard full of dried food, and they are not expensive. Given the rates of inflation and food prices, a cupboard full of food is a smart investment. Money spent on nutritional edibles substances is money wasted. So don't buy junk food. Stuff that's not nutritious. Number nine, super insulate your home. An R40 wall, R60 roof. A super insulated home will not allow you to freeze to death in the winter, even with no supplemental heat. The best insulation may be sprayed in place polyurethane foam. Diversify your sources of heat away from petrochemicals. Natural gas supply in North America is already declining. About 50% of homes are heated by natural gas. Global oil production is also declining. About 50% of homes are heated by oil. For many homes, a ground source heat pump could provide heating and cooling. And number 10, actively support and implement measures that will move the economy and your personal situation away from dependence on petrochemicals. Make your home and community self-sufficient for as many of its needs as possible. So I'm going to hand these out so you can take them with you. And I've got enough so that if you have someone, a good friend or close person you'd like to give a copy to, you may do that as well. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this meeting tonight and the words of your prophet. We see, Lord, that the foolishness of what is going on in Washington, these men have no clue as to what they're doing. They're just spending money to spend it, thinking that's going to get us off. But they know that's just a temporary fix, but it's not even a fix. If they just do nothing, they'd be much better off, because now they're putting more of a burden upon the people. And we know that this is just so that the Catholic Church can increase their gold to $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce and buy up all those notes as those notes depreciate because they're not worth anything. So she'll own the companies, she'll own the countries, she'll own everybody's job, she'll own it all. And she'll own all those patents, and she'll control the world's food supply as well. So people cannot buy or sell, they won't be able to eat unless they take the mark. But Father, we're thankful that you said that when these things begin to tighten up, that tells us that we're soon to see the third pole in action. We believe it'll be at the resurrection of the saints when your prophet returns. And so, Lord, we're just waiting for that time. We're asking that you would help us, Father, to be ready in our spirit. Help us not to be angry with one another. Help us not to be mouthy with one another. Help us, Lord, to be loving. And help us to be kind, and help us not to be pressing one another for answers or just busybody, Lord, but help us, Lord, to back off. Help us just to look to you and you alone. For you are the only source of salvation we have, Father. You delivered your children Israel out of the 10 plagues and out of that great depression and that great destruction of that nation, the greatest nation on earth at the time. And you delivered your saints from that. You delivered your son from the hands of an evil king who went through and killed all the little children in Jerusalem. You delivered your son. And Father, you delivered the saints from Jerusalem before Rome came down upon them. Not one saint was found in the city. When the city then starved to death, 1 million people died and many of the children were eaten. So Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are our shield. In our buckler, O God, and our wonderful tower to run into in times of trouble. And so, Father, we know that the troubles are upon us, and we just pray that each day that we would be able to do a little bit more to prepare, to store up what we can, to help others to store up, Father, to get to the point where we can reduce our outlay, reduce our cost of living, so that we can make it through these tough times, Father. We don't know if it'll be a month or a year or 2 years of this press, this squeeze that's upon the world. But Father, we believe that the squeeze has come. It's here. It's on its way. It's not in total yet, because we know when it builds and builds and builds until it goes into a depression. But before that time comes, before that tribulation comes, we know that your bride will be gone. So, Lord, we realize that our going home could be any time. It could be this spring. And if it is, Father, we are just not in any way or shape ready in our hearts. We are not soft and supple. We don't have that sweet spirit yet that your prophet said that we should have by laying in the presence of the Son. Help us not to have that church spirit, Father, but help us to have the bride spirit, your spirit, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.